Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Today, we are continuing our series of discussions related to California's drought by looking at how agriculture uses and manages water. Luckily, it is raining in many parts of the state today, but we still are in trouble. Governor Jerry Brown is calling what we're facing a mega drought. We're experiencing our longest drought in more than 100 years. Last year, we saw only 7.48 inches of rain, the lowest amount in 119 years. Of record keeping. So today we're going to talk about the industry that uses the most water. Nearly half of California's land is devoted to agriculture, both animal grazing and crops. According to a 2012 Pacific Institute report, more than 90% of California's water is used by the agricultural industry. The meat and dairy industries use the most water. So where and how is this water being used? How could it be used more efficiently? How are farmers and ranchers in California responding to the drought? And how can we prepare for a drier future without hurting this critical sector of the economy? Today, we're joined by Doug Parker. He's director of the California Institute for Water Resources. That's an organization that focuses on finding solutions to water-related challenges. Hi, Doug. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thank you.
Nice to have you. We're also joined by Joe Del Bosque of Del Bosque Farms. Joe farms on the west side of the San Joaquin Valley near the town of Mendota, which is in Fresno County. He's been farming since 1985. His parents were migrant farm workers. He grows cantaloupe, almonds, asparagus, cherries, and tomatoes if there's enough water. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. So, Doug, I want to start off with you. We've done a lot of shows about the drought, and the focus tends to fall on us. You know, don't take long showers, don't use as much water, which is really great. But it's kind of surprising to learn that citizens only use about 4% of water in California. 90% of the water is used by the agricultural industry. How long has this been the case?
I think that's probably been the case throughout history of California. We were, you know, if you go back to the beginnings of the state, a lot of our initial stuff was agricultural oriented. So most of our developed supplies have always gone towards agriculture, although I guess early on there would have been more going towards mining and other operations as well.
Can you break down this 90% for us?
That goes to agriculture.
Yes.
A good portion of that is going on cropland. We have almost 10 million acres of irrigated cropland in the state of California on about 80,000 different farms. A lot of that is going towards fruits and vegetables, nuts, and then a lot goes also towards irrigated pasture and hay that helps support the animal industry.
And has this changed at all over the years? I know the 90% hasn't really, but the way that the water is distributed and used, has that changed?
Certainly, we've changed how we use water over the years. We're much more efficient in agriculture. We use a lot of technologies to use that water better. We get a lot more production out of water in agriculture. I know we talk a lot about conservation of water in the cities. There's always been conservation of water in agriculture, and the gains we have made through research done by the University of California, Cal State system, and others over the years has really impacted agriculture's ability to continue to lead California as a world producer in agriculture.
And where is this water coming from?
Most of the water, well, about half of the water is coming from streams from the Sierra Nevada, so it's snowmelt and captured in our dams and then distributed through a very complex system in the state of canals and using natural stream flows as well. And then a good portion of that water also comes from groundwater supplies, so water that seeps into the ground and is then pumped back up to the surface and used by agriculture. And a lot of cities use groundwater as well.
There have been so many reports about how cities are really struggling, like Willits, for example, has 100 days left of water. There are now restrictions in places like Santa Cruz. What are you hearing specifically from farmers?
I'm hearing farmers are also having the same sort of problems. The State Water Project has announced that they're going to have zero deliveries to farmers this year, so a lot of farmers are not going to have any water. So farms are adjusting by fallowing land where they can. So if they're growing what we call annual crops, things you would grow every year like broccoli, lettuce, things like that, they're fallowing some of that land, not producing on it this year. Those others who have tree crops are cutting back on how much water they give to their trees, trying to keep them alive, maybe get some crop, but certainly keep the trees alive for future years. And then if farmers do have access to groundwater, they're turning to groundwater and pumping more and more groundwater out of the ground to keep growing food.
And talk a little bit about the recent announcement by the state of California. The Department of Public Health says 17 rural communities may face severe water shortages in just 60 to 100 days. And the state recently said that for the first time in 54 years, it will not release water from reservoirs to 29 water agencies serving 25 million people. And this was quite shocking to a lot of people, especially farmers. How much of that is going to affect the farming industry?
It's going to have great impacts on the farming industry. I think we're already seeing our animal agricultural producers starting to cull their herds, sell off animals that they would normally want to keep either as dairy or to grow to a larger size. We're also seeing certain areas of the state where agriculture is definitely going to have to cut back on what they produce, and that's going to have a ripple effect throughout the economy in California as well, because there's a lot of employment issues in those local communities where people are not going to be growing crops anymore.
And Joe, you run Del Bosque Farms on the west side of the San Joaquin Valley near the town of Mendota, which is in Fresno County, and you grow cantaloupes, almonds, asparagus, cherries, and tomatoes if there's enough water. You've been hit really hard by this drought. Can you talk about that?
Well, you know, we on the west side are in the CDP, the Central Valley Project, and we're always the first ones to get cut back, and we're cut back the most. We have gone through water restrictions now for more than 20 years, since about 1990, since the CDPIA, the Central Valley Project Improvement Act, was implemented. About 800,000 acre-feet per year or more has been reallocated away from us. It has been reprioritized to go to environmental purposes. And so we, right off the bat, since 1990, have started off with close to 1 million acre-feet less per year. And so we're always with less water than our full contract specifies. And so since 1990, we've only had 100% of our contracted supply two times. And if you average it out, we've only been getting about 60% of our supply per year since 1990.
And I understand that you are concerned about whether or not you'll actually bring your employees back after winter because things are so bad.
Well, that's correct. As you mentioned, I have almonds and asparagus, which are perennial crops. My annual crops are cantaloupes and tomatoes, and those will be the crops that will probably not be planted, and those are also the crops that require the most labor. When we start harvesting cantaloupes, we hire about 300 people to pick those cantaloupes. And so oftentimes the crops that are likely to be not planted are those that provide the most jobs.
And that is Joe Del Bosque of Del Bosque Farms. He's been hit really hard by the drought. We're also joined by Mike Wade, Executive Director, Doug Parker, Director of the California Institute for Water Resources. And we're continuing our series of discussions related to the drought by looking at how agriculture specifically uses and manages water. According to a 2012 Pacific Institute report, more than 90% of California's water is used by the agricultural industry. The meat and dairy industries use the most. And if you'd like to join us, if you have any questions about agriculture, if you work in this industry, what are your thoughts about how the industry uses water and what needs to change? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. If you're involved in agriculture, how are you responding? And what do you want to know about how farmers and ranchers use water in California? 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website, yourcallradio.org. And Doug, how is water allocated? Because we talked about this on our last show, but when you look at the amount of water needed for a pound of beef, for example, it's 5,214 gallons compared to a pound of lettuce, which is 23 gallons, a tomato, a pound, 23 gallons, potatoes, 24 gallons. So how is this water allocated when there's such a major discrepancy between how much water is needed?
Sure. Well, most water allocation in California is based on historical water use. So we have a complex set of water rights in the state, but most of it is sort of basically set up on a first-come, first-served basis. So it's based on historical land uses and water uses in streams. So a lot of the water ends up on farms doing different levels of economic activity.
Well, what are your thoughts about what gets the most attention? Because, you know, a lot of people talk about cotton and almonds, but I don't really hear much discussion about the meat and dairy industries, and they're the ones that use the most water.
Sure. They are kind of the larger water users of the state, and most of that water is used basically to grow feed for the animals, whether it's alfalfa or corn for silage and other things like that. We do get a lot of value out of that industry, though, so really we try to look at sort of what is the value we're producing per, you know, drop of water or whatever that is. There's also ways to move water around the state, so people talk about water transfers, and when most people talk about water transfers, they're usually thinking about moving water, you know, selling, agriculture selling water to the cities. But the majority of water transfers in the state are actually between agricultural units, so it's moving water from certain crops to other crops that need it more that are higher value.
And according to the Pacific Institute, animal feed, which includes irrigated pasture, non-irrigated pasture, and other feed crops, have the greatest requirements, followed by alfalfa, straw, and hay. They provide the primary inputs to California's meat and dairy industry. And then they also look at what they call a blue water footprint, and that would include almonds, rice, grapes, and cotton.
Yeah. So we do sometimes distinguish between water that's coming down as rainfall or soil moisture and water that's put on in irrigated events. So that's sort of sometimes talked about as blue water or green water. So a lot of water is distributed through the different crops, but we do put a lot of water into different ones. We've seen a lot of water savings over the last 20 years through research that's been done looking at ways to improve water use efficiency. So a lot of our industry has adopted new irrigation technologies and new irrigation management streams that really have reduced the amount of water used to produce agricultural products. But what we don't talk about often is that when we free up water by being more efficient, we also look for, okay, how do we use that water in another way? So maybe we plant, you know, another 100 acres of cantaloupes or something if we were able to free up some water by being more efficient. Mm. So one of the things we talk about, you know, is the value of that water in the agricultural production. So whether it's in animals or it's in crops.
Well, and how do you determine how much is wasted? Because when you think about a pound of beef using 5,214 gallons of water, it's kind of hard to comprehend. A pound of pork, 1,630 gallons, and a pound of chicken, 815 gallons. And this is all according to the Water Education Foundation. So how do you determine how much of that water is actually needed and how much is wasted?
Sure. So when we look at water use efficiency, we have to consider sort of where does the water that's not used go? So actually, a lot of times people mistakenly think that water, once it's put on a crop, is lost, but it's not often lost to the system. So often that water will percolate down into groundwater, and we can pump it back up to be used again. So there are large differences between the crops, and we see relative advantages across the country. I mean, we do import a lot of our meat into the state of California as well because we bring it in from more water-rich areas, but we do grow a lot here as well. But our pasture and rangelands up in the mountains, a lot of that's not irrigated, so a lot of that animal agriculture is, you know, while it is using water to create the animals, it's actually just grazing on natural land. So it's a good use of those lands, and sometimes those numbers don't really account for those kind of changes.
Well, and what's really sad, and we'll talk about this later in the show, is that because we don't have much water, there's not much for the cows to eat at this point. I mean, I've seen photos of very, very thin animals, and a lot of farmers are selling off their animals.
Yeah, that's true. We are starting to see some of that. And I know we're going to have a guest on later in the show who's going to tell us more about that.
Right. And that is Doug Parker, director of the California Institute for Water Resources, an organization focused on finding solutions to water-related challenges. And Joe Del Bosque runs Del Bosque Farms on the west side of the San Joaquin Valley near the town of Mendota. They're in Fresno County. And he grows cantaloupe, almonds, asparagus, cherries, and tomatoes if there's enough water. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. What questions do you have about how agriculture uses water? If you work in this industry, what changes are you seeing because of the drought? And what needs to change in the future? Because this is our future. It's going to get drier, according to so many studies out there. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from John in San Francisco. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning, Rose, and thank you very much for taking my call. The question I have is, what is the barrier to building desalination plants, since we're a state that borders the Pacific Ocean, building these plants and using water from that source to take care of agriculture and other things? There seems to be some unwillingness to do that, and I've never fully understood it.
Okay, thank you for the question. First off, Doug, do you want to talk about desalination plants and just why they're important?
Sure. Desalination plants do exist in California and worldwide. Essentially, they're designed to take salty waters, whether it's ocean water or other water sources, and filter them into clean water sources. We do have a couple of desalination plants in California, and there's actually a couple more being built. The technology is rather expensive and very energy intensive, so the price or the cost to produce water that way is quite high, and usually it's then used for cities or residential use. Because the price is so high, it's really not very useful for agricultural use in terms of the cost it would take to do that. The other is, you know, much of our agriculture is more inland, so we'd have to move that water. But we are putting in some plants in the urban areas, and that will help with a bigger, broader water picture in California.
Is there any resistance to this?
There are some controversies with desal plants. Because they do have to take in, for instance, if it's an ocean one, they have to pull in seawater, so there's some marine life effects there if you're trapping animals in things, but some of that can be mitigated through screens and stuff. And then the briny salt that's created by the plant has to be disposed of somewhere, usually back into the ocean. So it needs to be done in a careful manner that takes care of the environment and doesn't impact marine life offshore.
All right. Well, thank you for calling, John. And Joe, I also wanted to go back to water allocation and ask you a few things about that, because you had to deal with an 80% water reduction in 2013. We were talking earlier about, you know, how much a pound of lettuce it takes to grow a pound of lettuce is 23 gallons, a pound of tomatoes, 23 gallons, and you grow tomatoes if you have enough water, versus a pound of beef, 5,214 gallons. What are your thoughts about how water is allocated in the state?
Well, you know, I realize that that is pretty complicated, and as Mike mentioned, it has been structured sort of as a first come first served basis. So we realize that in the CVP we are some of the newest ones, newest kids on the block, you might say. So we do have lower rights than most people. And, you know, what we're trying to do is we would like to have a little more stability, a little bit more sustainable levels of water, because when you go from, like, say, 2011, 80% to zero in 2014, it's very difficult for us to adjust. We have some permanent crops, like our asparagus is a permanent crop, our almonds and our cherries are permanent crops. And you have to have some sustainable levels. So it's very difficult for us. It's very risky for us. But at the same time, you know, the reason that we choose the crops that we do is economics. It is, what is the demand? What does the consumer want out there? They're the ones that tell us what to grow. And, you know, lately in the last maybe 5 or 10 years, people have been desiring more fresh fruits and vegetables and nuts. Hmm. Why? Because they're healthy. And a lot of people are going that way. They're consuming less of the maybe the meats and starches and eating more fresh fruits and vegetables. So that's why we try to grow what the consumer wants. and all of these crops that we grow in California, they love our California weather as we do, but they require, you know, irrigation.
Well, and we're really lucky to live in this part of the country because we have access to so many fresh fruits and vegetables. And, you know, a lot of people, especially in the Bay Area, were completely disconnected from farms. We might see it when we go on weekend trips or road trips, but we really don't know what goes on a farm. So what do you want people to know about how water is used on farms?
Well, I think that people, when you think about your water usage, and I think in the state, the average water use per person per day is about 150 gallons. That includes bathing, washing, watering the lawn, all these things. But what people really need to realize is what do they have to include their food in there. It takes water to produce our food. So if you were to formulate a water footprint, you've got to look at that also. And if they you know value the types of food that we grow in California, then they have to realize that it's going to take water to produce that food, and you also have to realize that many of these crops cannot be replaced somewhere else in the country. They like our weather, as I mentioned. They like it dry. Our tomatoes, our melons will not produce well in states like in the Midwest where they get rains in the summer. They get sick and die, and they don't produce well. And so I got to think that agriculture in California is a very valuable asset to our public, and people need to understand that it's going to take water to produce those kinds of foods if that's what they want.
And that's Joe Del Bosque. He runs Del Bosque Farms on the west side of the San Joaquin Valley in Fresno County. We've got time for a few calls before break. Let's go to Willie in Richmond. Hi, Willie.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Great. So my question was to, I think it's Doug. You talked a little bit about the amount of water that is used for watering feed crops. And to some degree, that technology has reduced the use of that water, you know, per acre or whatever. My question is to what degree are those crops watered by sprinkler systems that could be made yet more efficient? And what percentage of that water from the sprinklers is evaporated so that, you know, we could sort of capture that with more technology?
Doug, do you know?
I'm not exactly sure what percentage. I know quite a bit of our crops. It really depends on which type of crop. So if we're talking about feed crops that are used for animals, in much of the state that is watered with sprinklers and sometimes with very highly efficient sprinkler systems, other times not. Sometimes the fields are even flooded or furrow irrigated, so the water is just run across the surface and used by the crops. In terms of evaporation, evaporation isn't too much of a big deal, except for if people are watering at wrong times, like, you know, middle of the day on a windy day and that kind of a thing. So there is some of that. It's also important to remember where some of, you know, if we're flooding, say, a pasture, a lot of that water, again, will end up down in the groundwater and not be wasted, can be reutilized in the system. So oftentimes water is used multiple times in our system in agriculture.
And we're going to take a quick break, and I'll ask Joe the same question right after we come back. Today we're talking about California and water. More than 90% of California's water is used by the agricultural industry. The meat and dairy industries use the most. What questions do you have and what needs to change? We'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on Local Public Radio, KALW San Francisco, a show that relies on listeners becoming engaged in the conversation. You can join us today by calling 866-798-TALK. That's toll-free, 866-798-8255. Or you can post a comment or question at yourcallradio.org, where you will also find links related to today's program. Coming up at 11 o'clock, from the BBC, World Have Your Say. And following that at noon, Bina, here on KALW.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, it's our media roundtable, and we'll discuss coverage of the Farm Bill, which passed the House and Senate and is expected to be signed soon by President Obama. We'll also talk about coverage of the Keystone XL pipeline. Hundreds of protests took place this week. There were about almost 30 arrests in San Francisco yesterday. The administration has 90 days to make a final decision, and we'll look at coverage of South African platinum miners striking for a living wage. That is tomorrow. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about California's drought. Luckily, it is raining today in many parts of the state, but we're still in a lot of trouble, and we still expect a mega drought this year. So today, we're looking at agriculture. According to a 2012 Pacific Institute report, more than 90% of California's water is used by the agricultural industry. The meat and dairy industries use the most. So we're talking about how the water is used, could it be used more efficiently, and what changes do we really have no choice but to embrace in the future as we're dealing with a drier future. Today we're joined by Doug Parker, director of the California Institute for Water Resources, an organization focused on finding solutions to these challenges. Joe Del Bosque runs Del Bosque Farms on the west side of the San Joaquin Valley, which is in Fresno County. He grows cantaloupe, almonds, asparagus, cherries, and tomatoes if there's enough water, and he's been hit really hard. He doesn't know if he'll be able to rehire all of his workers once winter is over. And now I would like to welcome Mike Wade to the show. Mike is Executive Director of the California Farm Water Coalition. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you. So there's so many problems right now with farmers. What are you hearing? How are they changing their practices because of this drought?
Farmers are reducing the amount of land they're planting simply because there isn't enough water to grow the crops that they would in a normal year. And we're seeing probably as much as 500,000 acres of land that won't be producing food in 2014 compared to previous years that had more normal rainfall.
Can you put that in perspective? What does that mean exactly? That sounds huge.
500,000 acres is not quite 10% of California's farmland, but what's more important is much of it is in the central San Joaquin Valley, areas where I know Mr. Del Bosque was talking about that he farms, and that is a huge important part of California's fresh fruit and vegetable production. Almost half of the nation's fruits and vegetables come from California, and when we can't produce that kind of product, it doesn't only impact California, it impacts people around the country and around the world.
And so when you're talking about 500,000 acres of land, is this mostly fruits and vegetables?
It probably is mostly annual crops, yeah, and it would be broccoli, lettuce, tomatoes, cantaloupes, probably sweet corn, corn that we might see in the grocery stores later in the spring and summer. So it's the fresh fruit and vegetables people look for when they want California produce.
We talked earlier about water allocation, and I'm wondering what you think about it, considering that there's such a discrepancy between the gallons of water used for things like lettuce and tomatoes versus like pork and beef.
Well, California is fortunate to have, in normal times, abundant water and a wonderful climate to grow a huge variety, over 400 different crops. And that benefits consumers as a whole because it gives all of us many choices at the grocery store when we go to buy food for our families. And farmers grow the kinds of food that people want, and they respond to market forces. I'm sure if people weren't buying cantaloupes, there wouldn't be a need to grow them. But that's not true. People do want them. They want beef. They want dairy products. And those are the things that California farmers are very good at producing.
And Joe, Willie called in asking about sprinkler systems. Do you use those systems, and how do you determine how to actually water your crops?
We have, over the years, transformed our farm over to drip irrigation. It's the most efficient irrigation system available. We do use some sprinklers in some cases, like in pre-irrigation, where we need to wet the soil before we plant. But by and large, my farm is 100% drip. And if you look across the Central Valley Project, which is, I don't know, Mike might know better than I do, but I imagine it's at least 1 million acres. What I hear is that they're about 70% drip irrigation also. And so farmers have adapted and become much more efficient, especially in the areas where we're more likely to be impacted by water reductions.
All right. Well, thanks again for calling in, Willie. And let's go next to Alex in Oakland. Hi, Alex.
Hello, Rose. It's Alex.
Oh, hi, Alex.
I have a question about why isn't there some effort to stop farmers that used to use water for farming that sell it now to municipalities?
Doug, can you address that?
Sure.
And can you explain how that works?
Sure, I can give it a shot. So the water rights basically usually belong to the landowner. So farmers who have owned the land, or their grandparents or great-grandparents own the land, have the rights to the water. In California, water is required to be put to reasonable and beneficial uses. And back, I believe it was in the drought in the late 80s, we were starting to look at water transfers and moving water from farms to cities. And the state actually had to pass some legislation to make water transfers a beneficial use so that farmers could sell it to the cities. But essentially, you know, they have a historic right to the water because they own that land. And so if they choose to sell it or lease it, you know, year by year to cities or to other farmers, they have that right. There are constraints in terms of being able to move it through our water systems and things like that.
And can you talk about the cost? How much money are we talking here? The cost for water in general, and then the cost of moving water.
Okay, so the California Constitution states that water belongs to the people of the state. So water isn't a traditional commodity that is priced based on its value. It's really priced based on the cost of delivery. So water, like, you know, is controlled by public agencies in general or water districts. And the cost to the farmer or to the cities is basically the cost that it is to get that water delivered to the end user.
And what is the difference between what we pay for water individuals versus farmers?
Yeah, water costs vary greatly across the state. Urban users generally pay more than agricultural users, but again, it's because of the cost. We turn on our tap, we have pressurized water. That water is ready to drink right on the spot. It's been treated and cleaned so that it's safe for us. In agricultural uses, you know, sometimes you're pulling water out of a river or somewhere else. We don't drink out of rivers. We clean the water first. So the costs are much less in agriculture for water than it is in the cities. But again, it also just depends on location and cost. So getting water, say, to Southern California is quite expensive because we have to pump it long distances. Other, you know, rural or other communities that have very close water supplies, their costs can be low as well.
And Mike, the last time we did a show about the drought, our guest said that the water prices really need to change. Do you think that water prices should change?
No, I think Doug did an excellent job of explaining how we price water in California, and the Constitution does require the price of water to be based on the cost of the actual cost. So if it costs $25 or $50 an acre foot to deliver water to a farm, that's what the cost is required to be. If it costs $300 or $400 to treat to drinking water standards and to deliver water to urban areas so it's available 24 hours a day, there's a higher cost associated with that. Irrigation and water districts that deliver water cannot charge more than what their cost of delivery is.
And again, according to the Pacific Institute report, this came out in 2012, 4% of California's water footprint is individual personal use, while 90% is used by the agricultural industry, and most of this goes to the meat and dairy industries. And today we're talking about agriculture and water with Doug Parker, director of the California Institute for Water Resources, Joe Del Bosque of Del Bosque Farms. He farms on the west side of the San Joaquin Valley in Fresno County. He grows cantaloupe, almonds, asparagus, cherries, and tomatoes if he has enough water. And Mike Wade is executive director of the California Farm Water Coalition. And now I would like to welcome Karen Sweet. She is a cattle rancher in Livermore. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So how is this affecting cattle ranchers? I mentioned this earlier, but I've seen really awful photos of what look like almost starving cows because there's so little food to actually give to the cows.
Rose, I would say that livestock farmers and ranchers that own cows are doing their very best to keep the animals as healthy as they can, and if that means they have to sell them to folks who have more feed than they do, that's what they're trying to do. We're also trying to buy feed if we have the resources to do that, so that our cattle are cared for every day. And my lifestyle has changed as I'm feeding my cattle every day.
And is this new, and the fact that so many farmers, and I've been reading this in media reports, that they're selling their cattle? I mean, is this happening? Obviously, it's happening more frequently than it was in the past, but how often does this happen?
Well, we do sell cattle annually. Our calves are sold when they're ready to be processed and prepared for the consumer. And we have cows that rotate out of their production life cycle that are on the market. But when we run out of feed before the winter is even started, then because ranching and dairies is a business, then we need to make the economic decisions so that we can provide feed and water for our cattle every day. And in California, we've been blessed with wonderful rangelands, that most of which are privately owned. And these annual grasslands are very resilient, so even in the last 2 days of sprinkling here between east of Livermore, what little green grass was already germinated is holding on. It's starting to grow. The cattle are finding it, and so we need some more sunshine and some more rain to keep that grass going. But I think it's important to understand that California's private rangelands provide most of the watershed for the water that does end up into the rivers and the delta and eventually into the Pacific Ocean. And where I sit between Livermore and Tracy, in good years, in normal rainfall years, my range actually provides water runoff that goes to the delta and to the San Francisco Bay. So this is a very unusual situation where every drop is being soaked into the soil in hopes that, you know, eventually we might get enough rain to export rain to you.
And we've got a related caller on this one, this issue. So let's hear from Ruthann in El Cerrito. Hi, Ruthann. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you so much for airing this show. I'm a firm believer that, I think you know this, Rose, that not eating meat is really the best thing you can do for the environment and for easing water use. My question to Karen or to anyone who might know, would it be more responsible water use-wise if folks restricted their use of meat to meat cattle that was grazed on grass as opposed to grain? Does that use less water?
Karen, do you know?
The cattle that are raised on rangelands that do not use irrigation water are providing a lot of benefits, not only the nutritional beef that we provide, but we're also, so to speak, mowing the rangelands that surround our urban and other areas, and we provide lots of other natural resources benefits. So that even in a year like this, those folks who have grass-fed beef herds are running out of grass, and they're having to buy hay at high prices, as do I. And so I think even the grass-fed industry, so to speak, is also challenged.
USA Today quoted a number of ranchers, and one rancher from Paso Robles said that exactly what you just said. He normally doesn't have to buy hay, but he is now, and alfalfa prices in his area have soared 10% over the past couple weeks, and he's planning to sell his animals unless it starts pouring. And he said a lot of his friends are having to do the same.
That's absolutely true. A lot of folks in California that depend upon raising their own hay and saving it until they need it, we're not able to raise enough hay to do that, or they've already used it up. A lot of folks in California are competing for what little hay we've raised in California and are now importing hay from as far away as Utah. And
wow.
So we're adding in the cost of transportation as well as market-driven prices for hay. And that goes for the dairy cattle as well as beef cattle, because all these animals need a certain amount of nutrition every day.
What are you hearing from other farmers? Because when we talk to people who grow fruits and vegetables, you know, some of them, obviously, they don't want to change what they're growing, but some can try or maybe change crops or diversify. But what do farmers do? I mean, if you're just raising, you know, if you've got chicken or cows or pigs, I mean, what other alternatives do farmers have? I mean, if they're selling their animals, then what are they going to do?
The risk for livestock is that we have spent years and lots of money invested into our genetics to improve our cattle herd to be efficient, to raise a product that the consumer wants that's healthy, and to have to sell part of the herd that you've invested in to somebody else to benefit from is an emotional decision that I'm hearing lots of my friends talking about. And then the next decision is, so when times get good and we have plenty of grass, then we have to replace those animals with new animals that won't probably have had the same genetics and care and will have to be adapted to my ground, as an example. So it's not like a tomato is a tomato is a new tomato. It's that cattle also have differences that are driven by the marketplace and that adapt to local conditions. And we hate to lose those female animals that have that are producing beef on our own ranches that we've cared for.
And Karen, before we let you go, what are your thoughts on just the amount of water it takes to raise animals? A pound of chicken, 815 gallons, a pound of pork, 1,630 gallons, and a pound of beef, 5,214 gallons. This is according to the Water Education Foundation.
I don't know the Water Education Foundation and those figures, but I know that the food value of the resulting that has been produced with those, with whatever the water usage is highly nutritious, and the consumer needs the food produced in California.
Well, Karen, thanks so much for joining us.
I might, if I had a chance, to just mention that
Sure. The
Farm Bill, which you will be discussing tomorrow, is going to be bringing a lot of resources, continuing those that we already have, to the Natural Resources Conservation Service and the Farm Services Agency, to bring dollar and planning resources to California's farmers to continue enhancing our efficiency to raise food and use the water and resources that we have. So I hope you'll think about those tomorrow.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about that tomorrow and how the money is allocated. Thank you for joining us. That is Karen Sweet. She's a cattle rancher in Livermore. And today on Your Call, we're talking about water and agriculture. According to a Pacific Institute report, more than 90% of California's water is used by the agricultural industry. And staying with us for the rest of the hour, Doug Parker, director of the California Institute for Water Resources, Mike Wade, executive director of the California Farm Water Coalition, and Joe Del Bosque owns Del Bosque Farms in Fresno County. He grows cantaloupe, almonds, asparagus, cherries, and tomatoes, if there's enough water. And you can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. And Mike, we've got an email from Dennis who has a question about how water is allocated or who uses the most water. He says, I'm a tour guide and I do agriculture tours. I've been told that farms are using considerably less water now than they were in the past. And I've been told that 90% figure was accurate in the past, but is now outdated. Well, I got this 90% number from the Pacific Institute report, which came out in 2012. Does that sound right to you? Is that how much agriculture is using today?
No, I'm actually puzzled by the Pacific Institute's number, because in the past, they said that agriculture used actually 12 or 13% less than what they're saying now. So they're claiming that that we're using, well, 12% more water in round numbers than what we used to. Yet all of the data from the Department of Water Resources shows that agricultural water use has declined by over 14%. So We are using less as an industry. Our production in tons per acre foot of water applied has gone up dramatically, over 85%. We've almost doubled our efficiency and use of water in terms of the crop volume that we're able to grow and in the value to the farmer. And so those dollars translate into economic value to California in jobs, in transportation, processing at the ports. The Port of Oakland is a huge beneficiary of California farm products. So the numbers coming from the Pacific Institute don't add up with other publicly produced numbers.
Doug, what do your numbers tell you?
I see there's a lot of different ways to look at water use. Agriculture, from what I can tell, is somewhere in the 75% to 80% of water use of developed water supplies. If we account for water that is dedicated to environmental use, such as in-stream flows for wild and scenic rivers and things like that, then the agricultural water footprint actually drops down to about 40-45%, because we do dedicate a lot of water to water use. The other thing to consider is the reuse of water. So sometimes, again, as I mentioned, agriculture may use water, and some of that water may run off from the bottom of the field back into the stream. So if you count that entire unit as water used by agriculture, you get a pretty high number. But if you look at, well, how much did the plants actually consume and how much was returned to the system in another way, then those numbers change quite a bit.
All right. Well, we'll put links to this Institute report, the Pacific Institute report, on the website, and then we'll put links to some of the other reports that are also coming out. So thank you for the email, Dennis. And let's go back to calls. Let's hear from Jane in Corte Madera. Hi, Jane.
Hi. Yes, good morning. I have a question for your guest. How much water would you all gain if they stopped fracking? I read yesterday that there are 82,000 fracking wells in the United States, and each well over a lifetime uses 2 to 8 million gallons of water. And that water, apparently, it's so complicated to refresh that water for other uses that they're just not doing it. Is it more important to feed our cars or to feed our people? That's my question.
All right, thank you. There was actually an article about this in the Chronicle just a couple days ago, and David Baker reports, according to a Cirrus study, a nonprofit that works to encourage sustainability, up to 10 million gallons of water can go into a single well. What are your thoughts on that, Doug? Fracking. This is going to turn into a major showdown in California.
Sure. Without trying to get into all the other kind of issues that surround fracking and just focusing on the water usage aspect of it, it's really a fairly small amount of water, generally compared to water use overall in the state of California. I know when we translate, out at, 3, 4, 5 million gallons of water, sounds like a lot of water, and it is a lot of water. But our uses of water in the state, we tend to measure in acre feet of water, and that actually is about 3 or 4 acre feet of water, where we're looking at, agricultural crops use about that much to grow, an acre of tomatoes or something.
Well, so. But it sounds, this is a lot of water. Fracking a well in California, according to this Chronicle report, requires about 134,000 gallons. That's just one well.
Yes.
That's a lot of water.
It is a lot of water, but in the greater aspect of the amount of water that falls on this state or is used by the state, it's certainly probably below 0.5%. I'm not doing the math right in my head, but it's got to be less than that.
Mike, what do you think about this issue?
We've looked into it because there is great concern among farmers about fracking and at least a question about the volume of water. And what we found is in 2012, there were only 200 acre feet or so that were used in fracking. And that's, as Doug has said, a very, very small amount of water relative to what's used in agricultural production for our consumer food supply. We have also seen the oil industry in certain parts of the state producing water that's coming from wells that can be cleaned up and used for agricultural purposes. It may not be suitable for drinking water, but in 10 or 20,000 acre feet could be produced from a specific region to help supply additional water for agricultural production. So fracking is still out there in terms of public policy and questions about its value to the state, but what we've seen has been more positive than negative.
Hmm. Well, Jane, thank you for calling in, and be sure to tune in next Thursday because we're going to focus on this very topic, how much water is used with fracking. And Joe, we've got just about a minute and a half left. As a farmer, does fracking concern you?
You know, as Mike said, it doesn't seem like it's a very significant amount of water. I don't really have an opinion on fracking. The only thing that I'd like to say is that I think as a state, as a farmer, I think that we need to learn how to manage this resource a little better so that maybe we'll have enough to do all these things that we need to do. It just seems like climate change may start to bring more droughts or possibly even more very wet periods, because a lot of people are concerned about flooding, and seems like we just, as a state, just have not had the will to do something concrete about this.
And in 30 seconds, Joe, I mean, so many people say this is our future. We're going to have a drier future. So what change would you like to see?
That's exactly it. I think we need to be able to capture more water when it's extremely wet and be able to carry it and transport it to where it's needed in the very dry periods.
Joe Del Bosque runs Del Bosque Farms in Fresno County. He grows cantaloupe, almonds, asparagus, cherries, and tomatoes if there's enough water. Doug Parker is director of the California Institute for Water Resources, and Mike Wade is executive director of the California Farm Water Coalition. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, and thank you for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. On the next Your Call, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. This week, we'll discuss coverage of the Farm Bill, which has passed the House and Senate. We'll also talk about coverage of the Keystone XL pipeline. Hundreds of protests took place this week, and the administration has 90 days to make a final decision. And we'll look at coverage of South African platinum miners striking for a living wage. What did you see the best reporting this week? Join the conversation on the next Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.